Let us pray. Father, this morning, we have heard your word. The Holy Spirit has spoken and has kept it for us, that we might be reminded of those things that you have done, those things that you are doing, and those things that you will do. Help us, Lord, this morning to open our hearts and our minds to your message. Lord, I pray that I've gotten it right, but I ask for you to fix any of those things that aren't. And I ask that you would forgive me my sins, for they are many. We've come here to hear from Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. What wonderful readings this morning. I felt kind of badly that we're doing a series and I'm not preaching from the lectionary. The good part is I'm not sure which one of the verses I would have picked. So since we're doing a series on spiritual disciplines, I did not have to pick. Let me open by telling you about somebody. His name is Gilbert Keith Chesterton. I know one person here has heard of him. Some of you may have heard of him. But Chesterton is an amazing 20th century Christian author. He's not as popular as C.S. Lewis or J.R.R. Tolkien, but he influenced both of those people in their faith and as writers in their writing. He was Roman Catholic in his practice of faith, but he was a true Christian in his defense of the faith. He debated many of the celebrated intellectual atheists of the time, including George Bernard Shaw, Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, and Clarence Darrow. I was kind of surprised at Clarence Darrow because Clarence Darrow was an American attorney, and I guess he somehow got over to England to debate Chesterton. But George Bernard Shaw, who is anything but Christian, said this: the world is not thankful enough for Chesterton. Wow, that says something. Chesterton was kind of bigger than life for his time. He was a 6'4", 300-pound man who had a big laugh and a big mustache. He carried a cane and he had a cape that he often wore. That's so cool. I keep saying I'd like to wear a cape, but there's a certain someone in my life who keeps saying, nah, that'd be silly. I won't say who, but anyway, I just think they're cool. The Christian poet and writer T.S. Eliot said that Chesterton deserves a permanent claim on our loyalty. So many of you may say, well, if this is, he's so great, why don't I know of him? You want to know something? I'll bet most of you do. He is the writer of Father Brown. If you've ever seen Father Brown, the priest detective, Chesterton wrote Father Brown. Many other things as well, but since Father Brown is a favorite of mine, I think it would be so cool. I could go around doing detective work as a priest. Okay, moving on. So that's one reason I like him, but there's another reason, and it's kind of interesting because it has to do with primary. His many quotes are available about him, but there's one that I really like, that Dallas Willard uses in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives. Willard, on the very first line of the very first chapter of that book, quotes Chesterton saying this: Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as much as it has been found difficult and left untried. Isn't that a great quote? You know, it's not so much that Christianity isn't what people thought it would be. They tried it and they didn't like it. But it's really more that people thought, oh, Christianity's pretty good, but I'm really not sure that I want it to occupy my whole life. I'm not sure I want it to take over. But yet, our dear friend Paul offers some observations, two of which I'm going to pull from Romans. Romans 8:5. He says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. He said in Romans 12:1-2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters and kids alike, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your true and proper worship. Does that sound familiar, by the way? You're going to hear those words from me when we get into the communion portion of our service. But he goes on, and this is the piece that I'm sorry is not part of it, because he says this, and pay attention, guys, because I want you to hear this one. Do not conform yourselves. Don't be a part of the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't become a part of what's going on. Yeah, do you get discouraged about the news? Don't watch it. It seems to always be the same, and it just keeps you going lower and lower and lower. That's the world. That is the world. What more can we expect out of it? Because it is the world. It's not that God wants that. You can't look and think that, oh, well, this is the kind of world God wanted. It's not. It's not at all. God did not want this. But we, in our old nature, human beings, seem to like it. Now, I don't know how you can like getting into the news and finding about, you know, shootings and killings and fights and people who hate other people and countries fighting against countries. For what? For a piece of dirt. Goes right through your hands. But that's the way that things have been. And what God wants us to do is transform ourselves and our minds. You see, that's what learning and practicing spiritual disciplines is all about. We want to become more integrated with God every day. We want him to be more a part of who we are and how we react. This week's spiritual discipline group is under the heading of opening myself to God. Do you know that God has a great deal to say to us, but most of the time we aren't listening? We're busy. We have other things to do. In fact, even when we pray, have you noticed that you do most of the talking? I do. I start with, Lord, I'm so grateful for who you are. He goes, good, I'm glad you're grateful. Well, don't interrupt me, Lord. I have a lot to tell you. And then I go on. Request after request after request. How do we develop relationships with other people? Have you ever wondered about that? You know, those of you who are or were at one time married, how did you develop a relationship with that person? Was it by sitting down and telling them how wonderful you were and how privileged they are to be in your presence? And then telling them all about your life. And when they get ready to say, oh, that's interesting because I'm not finished. Now, I would say that's not a great way to have friends and influence people. The way we get to know them is we listen. We actually learn something about them. We learn something interesting. Now, we may determine after we're finished listening that, no, thank you. Have a nice day. But no, we're never going to know if we don't listen to what they've got to say. And unless we make time for them, when we're open and we're present for them, and we are intentional about wanting to know them. That's the way it should be with God. Adele Alberg Calhoun, who is the writer of the primary book that I'm using, although I've got about six of them that I'm referring from, she writes this: if we cannot develop human relationships on the fly, we cannot expect to develop the divine relationship without intent and desire. She goes on, intentionally learning to notice when God shows up is a huge part of the spiritual journey. We cannot open ourselves up to someone we don't notice. The specific disciplines this morning that I want to point out to you are intended to provide that opportunity. That is to be available and to open ourselves to God. So let's jump into them. First, contemplation. We don't like contemplation. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Contemplation is defined as to experience an event fully. In all its aspects, a contemplative person recognizes that every experience offers more than meets the eye. That is that you take in not just what's being said, but some of the intent behind what's being said, the meaning, learning a little bit about when someone says something, you've learned something about that person. If you're not willing to contemplate what's been said, then you're really not interested in a relationship. We need to spend uninterrupted time focusing on God, his creation, his son, the way he comes in and out of our lives. So you say, well, but I don't really have the time. I know. That's the problem. That's the problem. You know, if you are saved through Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, you are going to spend eternity with God. Don't you think it might be a good idea to get to know him a little bit? Second, part of opening ourselves up to God is to also examine our day, It is a spiritual discipline. So if contemplation relative to things that are in and out of your life and contemplating about those things, examining in our day is also important. For example, did you see God today? Was God involved in your day? Where did you see him? How did you respond when you realized he was involved? Did you notice him after the fact? Now, I have to tell you, most of us, most of us don't notice God in the moment. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know whether anybody's done an analysis of it. But most of us notice him after the fact. When we actually sit down and we think about the day and we go, oh my goodness, God was involved. That was a God thing. I tell people there are things such as God appointments. Sometimes you go to life screening and you think that you're just going to go to get yourself checked out. And you run into somebody who is just as fun and affable a person as you'll ever want to meet. And they tell you that they go to this church because that's where the life screening is being held. And you ought to come and try it. It's a different group of people. It's a group of people that are filled with love for one another. It's a group of people who would do anything for you. It's a place where you can serve whatever it is you may want to do. Whether you want to cook something and bring it, or whether you want to be involved in preparing the altar for each Sunday, or whether you want to be involved in the craft group. Right now, the craft group is knitting and crocheting. I don't know the difference, I'm sorry. I do actually know a little bit of difference, and that is knitting is using the needle that I put through my hand. Did not work. That's not knit one, purl, oops, that's not very good. So no, it's not that coordinated, but knitting and crocheting, and they're doing shawls. And those can be used as prayer shawls. That is so cool. And I've put my order in for one. You might want to also, but you also might want to consider coming and seeing if that's something enjoyable. That's on Thursday mornings at 10:30. This part of the sermon is brought to you by the crafting group. This is the kind of church where there is something to do that is related to God for everyone. Everyone. Maybe it's picking people up in a gracious and loving way and just always quietly being there. Maybe it's being involved in the business side of the church, which is not only the most pleasant aspect of the church, and one that I tend to run as fast as I can away from it. Maybe it's you really feel convicted to pray. Do you want to be part of the prayer team? This next part of the sermon is brought by the ministries of this church. If you go back, go into the narthex, and on the long table on this side, there are stapled pieces of paper there that are the ministries of this church. Grab one. Take a look. See what interests you. What fits your spirit interacting with God? Who knows? It's a great church. Examining your day as a part of finding out, what am I supposed to do? What have I done all day? And trying to figure out where God was. This leads to the third practice. Seems these are all practices that I'm not very good at. Journaling. Now, I normally don't genderize things, if that's a word. But This one I must, because I got to tell you, guys are not very good at journaling. And women seem to be. I don't know why. Maybe it's because when you were girls, you did a diary or whatever. But just many of the men, we just don't seem to work for us. But journaling can be very good. I wish that I was good at it, but I'm just too busy. Oops. Isn't that kind of part of the problem? Isn't that what we're trying to deal with these spiritual disciplines? If you're constantly answering to these, by the way, that you're too busy, you're too busy. The fourth discipline is practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. Do you understand a specific theological doctrine that is true? That is that God is omnipresent. He's here. He's here with us today. Not just Jesus. Yes, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am with you. But God is with you always. He's everywhere. You cannot escape him. In fact, I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. I love that. Only C.S. Lewis. The discipline of practicing the presence of God is often attached to a 17th century monk called Brother Lawrence. Have you ever heard of Brother Lawrence? Yeah. Wonderful. I highly recommend, if you're able to find a book on Brother Lawrence, it's well worth it. Brother Lawrence, he practiced the presence of God by talking with God throughout the day. Now, some people might look at him and go, the guy's got a problem. He's talking to himself again. But he wasn't. I must admit, this is one of those practices that I'm a little better at. I talk with God throughout the entire day. I get up in the morning and I say, morning, God. Now, there are two types of people in this world in the morning. One gets up and says, good morning, God. And then the other one says, good God, it's morning. I'm kind of in between. But I have an ongoing conversation with God throughout the day. I'll go to see someone. I'll get in the car I'll pull out of the driveway and I'll go, God, did I remember to close the garage door? Yes, you did. Yeah, I did. Okay. So I go on and I get to the intersection there at Highway 70 and the light changes. And I say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. I'm kind of anxious to get where I'm going right now. And I appreciate it. Now, did God change the light for me? No. Well, maybe. I don't know. But you know something? The scripture says, giving thanksgiving to God for all things. So I said, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. I get out into traffic, and there's not a whole lot of traffic. Lord, where is everybody this morning? What's going on? Oh, well, I don't care. As long as they're not in my lane. Stephen. Oh, I know. I'm just kidding. You know that. I talk with God a lot. He is my ever-present companion. Sometimes I say, somebody cuts me off and there's almost an accident. And I said, Lord, did you see that? Of course you did. But really? This guy's an idiot. Stephen. Okay, so maybe he's not an idiot. I have no idea why he had to do that. One option is, though, that he's an idiot. God goes, what are the other options? Well, he could be in a hurry. His wife might be in the hospital getting ready to have a baby. That's possible. He may have heard of a dear friend who's in the emergency room. That's a possibility. He may be in a hurry to get to work because if he doesn't get there on time, he'll get dunned. The Lord reminds me that be careful, Steve, about being critical, which I have a tendency to do. He knows that, but I do talk with him about it. That's one of the disciplines, is to practice the presence of God. You can do it in many ways, noticing when you walk outside. Isn't it beautiful right now? The sun's shining. I'm guessing, even though I can't see it, the sky is blue. Earlier this week, it was foggy. It was just a mess. But you know something? We can even thank God for the fog. Because you know something? That's pretty neat. How do it? Practicing the presence of God. When you're at school, did you guys know, those of you that are in school, did you know that God is there with you? Did you know that? He's right there with you. And sometimes you'll be there and you're going, this is a good way to talk to the Lord. Lord, this is boring. He goes, yeah, but you might need this later on. Pay attention. Okay, if you say so, I will. Practicing the presence of God. The fifth practice that is part of today is rest. Now, some of you are really, really busy and you say, I don't have time for rest. You're always working. I don't know anybody about that myself, but yeah. You know, Calhoun writes this, entering in rest is honoring our God-given limits. Did you ever notice that you have limits? Now, when you're young, like the kids that are here this morning, you don't think you have any limits. You can do anything and you're doing everything. I know of some families, the kids are in soccer, they're in football, how they're those both at the same time because they're at the same season, but they seem to be. They're in basketball, volleyball, baseball. They're in ballet, they're in chorus. And that's the guys. You know, the girls have even more. Yeah, we are over-scheduled. We are overactive, which is good at some of our ages to be active, but we can overdo it. We need to honor and pay attention to the physical, mental, and spiritual needs of the body. We need to learn when and how to rest. Another practice is retreat. I'm not going to spend much time on that because retreat, we're going to try something later this year, I hope. We'll see. But I would like for the women to have a women's retreat. Go somewhere Friday night, stay Saturday, Sunday morning, and then come back. Have that time somewhere away and have somebody come speak to you and talk about some of the aspects of life as a woman. I'm sorry to tell you, I don't know much about that. Self-care. Self-care. Do we take care of ourselves? Some of us not real well. So some people work themselves to the point where all of a sudden they notice their knee is bothering them. And then they get to the point where they push and then they can't walk, and then they spend a couple days eating Advil, but they don't stop. They're not taking care of themselves. When your blood pressure reaches 200 over 100, that's not so bad, I guess, so I'll just keep going. By the way, that one is bad. Your numbers are that kind of thing. Go to the hospital. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight. Unless there's something causing it, like pain, because your knee's bothering you so bad you can't stand it. We need to take care of ourselves. Simplicity. I love the hymn, the Shaker hymn. 'Tis a gift to be simple. 'Tis a gift to be free. How many of you have thought more than once in the last, say, 10 years, you sure wish life was more simple? It was at one point. Now, I'm not saying it was good, but it certainly was more simple, especially, and I didn't bring my cell phone up with me, which is good of me not to bring my cell phone up with me. But we have these things that have become appendages of our hands. Now, sometimes our hands are in our pocket, even though our hands are up here, but our cell phone's in our pocket. But we can't get very far. We have to have them. And oh my goodness, I am one of those that I have to answer. So if you call me and you don't get me, you know I'm involved in something else, because I just can't stand it when the phone rings and I don't answer. I've always been that way. I don't know. I was the kid at the house that when the phone would ring, I'll get it. And I'd knock over both my sisters on the way to getting the phone. We could use simplicity. We don't need to watch every game. We don't need to watch every show. We don't need to have the TV on even when we're not watching. Now, my poor wife, she married into a family where there was always a TV on in the house, whether we were there or not. We didn't want to miss anything, whether we were watching or not. It was just noise. You ever find yourself with just noise, just turning something off just to go on to keep yourself company? Don't do that. Life was simpler when you just would call somebody and say, you want to have coffee? Does anybody have coffee anymore with others? I hope you do. I hope you do. Taking time, slowing down, and unplugging. You pray about that. This Wednesday, by the way, we'll be talking about those things in more depth on Wednesday night as we talk about spiritual disciplines. God bless you.